This passage is a very interesting passage. You know, you all know that this week we are starting a new series on the attributes of God. You know, sometimes we human mind attempts to understand God. We will not be able to understand God as much as, you know, we will not be able to understand God more than what He has revealed to us. If we can if someone says, I know God, I can understand Him, that means he's limiting God. God is limitless, incomprehensible. He cannot be contained. He cannot be expressed in human languages. But He has chosen to reveal His attributes or His character, some of His nature, through the revealed Word of God. So that is what we are going to study, the four shades of God's attributes this in the next 4 weeks from today. And we will see how much we can appreciate our God. The first one is God who knows everything, or all-knowing God. Some people use a technical term, omniscient God, or God who knows everything. In 1991, I went through a difficult time in my life. Very, very difficult time. One side, my son was just 1 year old. We were newly married. And we didn't have a lot of background or a lot of families to fall back on. And we did not have any bank balance to, take money from the bank and survive. We were planning to go to seminary in central India. We applied and we did not get. My wife got admission and I did not get admission. And my employer, who happened to be a Christian organization, they released me because there was a misunderstanding that they released me. And we decided to go to Bangalore city where, you know, everything is so expensive. One side, my family was so angry because I resigned my job from a very good company, making a lot of money. The other side, I was in the middle of the city with no money, no family, no place to stay, permanent place to stay. And I applied to a seminary thinking that I would be going to seminary. So I made all the arrangements. Last minute, I heard that there was no admission. You know, I thought so many things. I would go back to my secular job, one. Another one, man, I got married so quick, so soon. I should have waited a little longer so that, I could have made some money. I could have become a little more stable and got married. Now, family is with me. I cannot go for a secular job because I'm so committed to work for the Lord. And I was, cornered. There was no other way to go. I made several mistakes. I went and got myself into a school in Bangalore, which was not, that was not God's plan. Then I made another decision to stay in a place where someone else was staying. They had moved out for 6 months, so we decided to go and stay there. Whatever money we had, we were paying that rent. And one mistake after another mistake. But, in retrospect, now look back. God was so active when I was going through this difficult time. I know I was thinking, God let me in the middle of a big city with my family to fend for myself. You know, when there was no place to go, I thought, God left me. My family left me. Now my friends left me. The organization that I was working for, that left me. But now when I look back, that was the time God was working in me and He was going to take me to a next level of my Christian existence. And He was preparing me for a greater ministry, and God was revealing that He was omniscient. And He was able to provide to me even when there was nothing around that could support. That was the situation I see in Exodus chapter 13 and 14. Although people of Israel were second-class citizens and slaves in Egypt, they had meat to eat, they had food to eat, they had house to live, and they had water to drink. And there was a man by name Moses came and just took them out, liberated them after the spectacular work of Jehovah. And instead of coming to the promised land straight, it would have taken only 2 weeks by walk to come to the promised land. God decided to take them through the wilderness, and God had a different plan. He knew that they were going to rebel and all those things. So when they were going, they were facing so many difficulties. That is where God was revealing His personality. We heard this passage read to us by Annette. And I'm going to just expound this passage a little bit more. You know, we have to ask the question, what did God know in Exodus? What did God know in Exodus chapter 13 and 14? God knew that His people would behave badly when they face difficulty. He knew very well. God knew that He would take His people intentionally through a long route instead of a short route. God knew that Pharaoh would pursue the people of Israel by changing his mind. God knew that He would defeat the army of Pharaoh. God knew that He would part the sea and take the people to the other side. God knew all of them, but the people did not know that God knew this. They must have thought first initially, why is Moses taking me instead of going straight? Why is he taking us through a long route? Second one, they must have thought, man, we were staying in the Nile Delta, and now we are in the desert. Why should we come? So many things must have gone because they did not know about God. God was revealing to these people who He was. From this passage, what do we know about God? That is a question we have to understand here. God knows the future so well. We can know only what it is now. We can remember our past a little bit. We know what it is right now, but we don't know what will happen 1 hour from now. We don't know. Future is unreal to us. It is almost like a hollow to us. We don't see the future. We don't predict the future. Although we can estimate certain things, but we don't know. But God knows the future so well. That is why, you know, we say God is sovereign. For us, tomorrow is tomorrow. But for God, He's already there. For us, next year, we don't know what it is. But God is already there. He is not restrained by time and space. God knows the past. God knows the present. God knows the future. He is far above here, and He knows what is 2011, 2014, 2020. But we don't know. That is why we call God sovereign. He is in charge of the future, He is in charge of the present, and He is in charge of the past. And He is not constrained or restricted by time and space. Psalm 139, verse 2 and 3 reads like this. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is in my mouth, you knew it completely. Even before a word comes to our mouth, He knew what we would speak. Even a thought that comes to our heart, He knew very well. You know, 730 BC, there was a prophet by name Isaiah. And he prophesied about a king by name Cyrus. Cyrus became king only in 538. Almost 200 years before, he predicted that there would be a servant, my servant, by name Cyrus. 730 years before, he predicted about the Messiah, Jesus. a virgin will conceive and she will give birth. And you know about the prophecy in Isaiah 7:14 and chapter 9. So many things God predicted even before they came into being. And there are a lot of things God has predicted about the future. Only we will know when we are there. When we look back, we get amazed. Lord, you know so many things in detail. A lot of things Daniel predicted, prophesied by the influence of the Holy Spirit. A lot of things happen and a lot of things yet to happen. So one thing about God is God knows the future so well. God knows our collective future. God knows our individual future. God knows the future of this world. That means, what will I do in 2011? I don't know. I have some plans. I desire certain things. But God knows so well, so perfect. That is why we call God an omniscient God. Or He is an all-knowing God. You know, God not only knows our future, He also knows our heart. What kind of person Subhash is, He knows so well. That is why it says, God knew so very well that these people would behave badly when they face Philistines, so He took them around. When we read Gospels, it says like this, Jesus knew them, what they are thinking in their heart, so He gave them the answer, a proactive answer. In other words, God sees our heart also. He is an omniscient God. In other words, what we think in our heart, what we have in our mind, we will know. You know, James is writing a book. He has written a nice book about a kind of science fiction. It is about a software that with which you can download the information from your mind. That is a fiction. But Bible says God knows our heart so well. What we think, what we desire. And God knows our future. And God also has a plan. Here we see in Exodus 13 and 14, He had a plan. He did not want them to go straight to a promised land. They would not appreciate several things. And also they would not appreciate the character of God. And they would not appreciate their relationship with God. So God decided to take them through the wilderness. Although they were going through the wilderness, it was very much part of God's plan. In Jeremiah 29:11 says, I have a plan for you. You know, it is not a kind of ordinary plan, but a detailed plan. It's almost like a computer animated blueprint. God has a plan for you individually, and also God has a plan for your future. This goes like this. I have a plan for you. Plans to give you future and a hope to prosper you. God has a plan. And there are several other things we can talk about. In Hebrews 4:13 it says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. God knows what's happening in moon. God has a knowledge about what's happening in Chile. So, when there is an earthquake, we are taken by a surprise. We say, oh man, so many people died. But God knew. When there is a flood in some other country, He knew that it was going to happen. He is omniscient and He is sovereign. So you need to understand your God that, you know, He knows your heart. Even now, what you are thinking, what your heart's desire, He knows. And also He has a good plan for your future. We will move further. There are other verses that talk about Jesus knowing everything and Holy Spirit searching our hearts, the deep things of our heart. In other words, reinstating that God is an omniscient God. He knows our future so well. He sees our heart so well. He understands our thoughts so well. We can fake before people. This is what Prophet Samuel said. Man looks at the face, but God looks deep inside your heart. So we cannot hide things before God. When Ananias and Sapphira brought the offering to the apostles, they thought they were just bringing a big gift to the Lord. But their spirit was not right. God knew that. Because God has, He is omniscient. Because He created us. Before God's plans were unfolded, the people of Israel behaved differently. Well, let us just see one after another. They questioned their decision to leave Egypt. You know, one side, God has a future plan for the people of Israel. Even though they were walking through the wilderness, even though there was a lack of food, a lack of water, even though Pharaoh was coming to fetch them and kill them, and they were going through a long route, and God had a plan. At that time, people were murmuring. They thought, man, did we make a right decision leaving? I had a question in 1991, and I had several questions even today. We are human. They said, did we really make a right decision leaving Egypt? I thought, in 91 when things were really hard, I was thinking, did I make the right decision resigning the job and coming for full-time ministry? And now I look back and I say, wow, that is a wonderful decision. That difficulty really formed my character. That was an exodus experience for me. And they cursed their leader. They call, in Exodus 14 we see, they called Moses. They said, did you bring us to die in this wilderness? Think, are there no graves in Egypt? And you see in whole book of Exodus and other books, we see these people always fighting with the leaders when things were not going right. And they became fearful and acted helpless. When Pharaoh was chasing them, when there was Red Sea in front of them, when there was mountainous terrain, they knew that they were going to die immediately, and they acted foolishly, and they made several wrong decisions of cursing God, cursing the leader, and also questioning their decision to leave Egypt. How many times we do that? When things don't go well, we make wrong decision. We become so fearful. And Psalmist says in Psalm 55, when I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. I think that is very important. And that these people had not learned that. When they were afraid, they should have trusted in the Lord. When we are afraid, if we make decision, those decisions are going to be bad decisions. Desperate decisions. In our men's meeting, they tell us, don't take a decision when you are busy, when you are hungry, when you are angry. There are few things. There are four instructions given. And one of them is this. When we are going through a difficult time, don't think that God is absent in your life. You may be, I met with several of our friends, church members, friends, and well-wishers. A lot of them lost their job. Several of them have been applying, but they are not finding their job. There are family problems. There are sicknesses, illnesses. Some people question God. Why should I get this illness? People of Israel at that time acted foolishly and they made wrong decisions. And they were distrustful and non-cooperative. When things don't go well, what we do is we say, let us not go to church. There is no use going to church. And they say, let us not read Bible because I don't have peace to read Bible. When we go through difficulties, some of you are going through difficulties today. Relationally, spiritually, there are crises. This is not the time you walk away from the Lord. This is the time you should be holding on to the Lord. When you feel you are in a desert, when you feel that you are cornered, when you feel that there is no other place to go, helpless, God is actively working in you and working on you. Because he wants to take you from one side to the other side. Metaphorically speaking, God was going to take you from the wilderness to the other side so that no one can pursue you. From one level of your existence to the other level. You will not be able to understand it now. If you were to understand now, then you don't need God. You are God. But you will only understand in retrospect after you pass through the wilderness and after you pass through the Red Sea, you go back and see, wow, my Lord parted the Red Sea. See, we are in the other side. The enemies are drowned. But you take one step at a time knowing that God is working in you. You know, you may ask the question, what should have been the response of people of Israel to this all-knowing God? God knows everything. God was actively working in them. They have seen that one in Egypt. But when they came to wilderness, they were murmuring. They were distrustful. They were acting foolishly. But you may ask the question, what should have been their response to this all-knowing God? You know, despite all the odds, they should have trusted in Him. Despite all the odds in life, they should have trusted in this all-knowing Jehovah, who knows their future, who knows their heart. Is it not true even today? We have something called selective amnesia. We forget. When things don't go all right, we become fretful. We become anxious. We try to solve our own self, the crisis. We know that we cannot solve it. You know, when Sam Edwards was searching for his job, you know, he came all the way from North Carolina to Dallas. And every week I ask him, Sam, is there any response from the people you applied to? He says, no. And I stopped asking because it was kind of, for me, it was embarrassing. I didn't want to really put him in trouble by saying no and no. And he went to North Carolina during Christmas time. And he had an encounter with God. This is how it is. Could you just tell what it is, Sam Edward? Don't worry about future. God is already there. Praise God. Fear not about tomorrow because God is already there. You know, some of you have been waiting for such a long time. Maybe for a year. Some of you are managing with much difficulty, with very little means. Some of you are spending so much money in the hospital for your treatment. Some of you are struggling with your relationship. And you're thinking, what's going to happen tomorrow? Will my wife leave? Will my husband leave? Or, you know, you may be thinking about a transition from one country to another country. You know, our natural response is to go into a fearful mode or an anxious mode and be worried. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, do not be worried. Do not be anxious about anything. But in prayer and supplication, make your needs known to God. Psalm 55 verse 3 says, when I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. You know, we are acting just like the people of Israel most of the time. When we have difficulty, we act foolishly and we act distrustfully. And I'd like to leave you three things when we go from here. How should you handle your predicament when you have an all-knowing God? We have an all-knowing God. He knows our future because He's already there. How should we respond to Him? One, know that God has a plan for you. Know that God has a plan for you. Now, there is not even a single day I went to sleep not claiming Jeremiah 29:11. You know, Jeremiah 29:11 did not come when everything was going all right. Jeremiah, sitting in Jerusalem, wrote this passage under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and he was going to send it to people who were in Babylon working as slaves, and he is saying, you know, I have a plan for you. The best way to fight our difficult time, the best way to handle our financial crisis, the best way to handle our relational problem is to know that God has a plan for us. The knowledge is so important. Knowledge doesn't come when we go and visit with people who are already in trouble and who will always think negative or always, you know, it's something like a pity party. But knowledge comes when you go and open the Word and search. And what is God doing? How did God help people in trouble? Know your God. God says, I have engraved you in the palm of my hand. And I consider you as the apple of my eyes. He who touches you touches the apple of my eyes. I have a plan for you. I will make a way in the wilderness and reverse in the desert. So when you are in trouble, what you need to know is you should know that God has a plan for you. And you turn your Bible and go and visit a friend or a family that will encourage you. Or listen to some testimony. You know, listen to some powerful testimonies. And how God, yesterday I was blessed to listen to a wonderful testimony of a brother who is part of this church. I was thinking, man, I did not know this gentleman went through all these troubles. And now he can look back and say, Lord, everything that I have is from you. You put it on my lap. But when he was going through the difficulty, when he hit the rock bottom, he did not know. Is there anyone here this evening who needs a special touch from you? The encouragement I would like to give you is know that God has a plan for you. You know, in Exodus chapter 14 says, the Lord will fight for you. You be still. You don't need to be doing too many things. You be still. And, you know, the Lord will act for you. Number two is commit your way to the Lord and trust in Him. Psalm 37 verse 5, it says, commit your ways to the Lord and trust in Him. A lot of time we ask the meaning of the word trust. I don't know. A lot of time, foolishly, I did not trust in the Lord. You know, my tension comes when my bank balance go down. Or sometime, you know, when I want to get admission for my children, because I love them so much, I have difficulty. When my wife suddenly comes with a physical illness, then I lack trust. Trust is this. You know, have complete consciousness that God is sovereign in your life. And being content for your daily need. And completely dependent. Continuously completely dependent on Him. Whether you have a job or you don't have a job. Whether you have a good relationship or, you know, no. You commit your ways to the Lord and trust in Him. My third one is, when you have a lot of difficulty, it's better not to make too many decisions. Instead, be still. Being still is not going and sleeping or watching TV. Being still is like a lion which is waiting for its prey. You know, when you see this National Geographic channel, they show Kenyan savannah, and you see a lot of animals. The lion is waiting. Lion cannot jump too far, and it cannot jump or run too fast. But it is very good in catching its prey, and it just waits, adjusts, repositions. Again, adjust. Sometime before it attacks its prey, it takes at least 1 to 2 hours. Sometime it is too quick. In the same way, when we are in trouble, the best way to do is be still in the presence of God. Read God's Word. claim His promises. Fast and pray. Fasting is not to twist God's hand, but God-centered fasting. It's telling God, you are sovereign. You have a plan for me. Being still. You know, you read Psalm 46. There, the city of Jerusalem was surrounded by Assyrians. And this is the psalmist says, I think it was Hezekiah who composed this psalm. He said, be still and know that I am God. So let me just recap these 3 points. Know that God has a plan for your life. Second one, commit your ways to the Lord and trust in Him. 3, be still and know that God will, you know, God is there to take care of you. Because we trust in an omniscient God. A God who knows our future, who knows our thoughts, and a God who has the best plan for our lives. Why do we want to ruin our life and ruin God's plan for our life by foolishly deciding, by foolishly taking decisions? You do these 3 things. May God bless us.